That's entertainment, and we welcome into studio Michael Leddy. And I simply have not had the time to invent something hilariously funny.
Oh,
about you.
All right, I'm going to head on home because that's been the highlight of the last few weeks.
I know, but I will. It will return.
I'll do one for you for next week.
No, I'm on this side. You're on that side. But it's great to have you back with
us. It's great to be here. It's great fun.
And we're also in the company of Fionnuala Rabbit, the steady hand on the tiller that is Highland Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping?
I'm good.
Any
I'm good.
News, crack, gossip or scandal?
No. I was just away for a little while there now, and I'm playing with my new grandbaby.
Oh, awesome. Lovely. What was the name again?
Ruben.
Ruben
Kelly, lovely. Yeah.
Ruben Kelly, what a lovely name.
Yeah, he's like adorable. Him. Best baby ever, obviously.
Obviously. And spoilt rotten by you, don't you?
Already.
Know, I'm sure. Yeah, exactly. Michael, what did you do this week? Anything
interesting? Nothing as exciting as that. I was involved in that tech rehearsal last... what was it, really? Tech
big
rehearsal?
Secretly
the big secret thing tech. That's something that's new and different. And it went very well. I had great fun watching other really good actors do their thing. I'm not in this production. It was a lot of... emails and requests from the public, so we've listened to them, and I'm taking a break from the stage this winter.
Right, okay, let's start with you, Fionnuala, because we're going to talk about Griselda.
Yes.
Which is a show based on, it's a drama based on real life. This is a person mm-hmm. that did exist. I'm into this as well. This is my little sneaky one that I'm watching on my own.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it to the point where I can't wait to sort of keep going with it. What do you think of it?
I'm actually really enjoying it. And my main reason for kind of bringing it up today was that I normally don't really like this. I'm one of these people that kind of watched Narcos and sort of like halfway through it was like, seriously, this is just, this, even though it's a true story, but it's just so terrible. And it's all kind of the same thing is in every day just lads getting shot, you know, the way is in the way they phrase the story. But in this, it's actually really interesting, and there's lots of different layers to it. Griselda Blanco, it was in the 70s. She was a wife of I have no idea where he was in the cartel kind of industry, but in I'm probably mispronouncing it, Medellin, I think that's how they say it, in Colombia. And she left her husband under strange circumstances. They're very specific in the program, but in when you read up about her, it's a bit more vague as to exactly what happened. But she left her husband at that point. And then she went to Miami, and she appears to have been the person that kind of brought leisurely cocaine to the world.
Yeah.
And in particular to the US. And became just a massive woman within the cartel.
I think up until that point, a lot of the drug dealing was happening within certain communities, people with certain backgrounds and what have you. And she saw a market for its wider, a party drug effectively, cocaine as a party drug in wider society. And that was hadn't been done really, certainly in the Miami area, up until...
Yeah, particularly among the wealthy and that kind of thing is where she started off. And she... Now, I'm only halfway through it, so I'm just finished three. And it's she seems to be that she's kind of setting up nearly her own cartel. In that seems to be what she's doing, is in she's getting them all to kind of work together and that kind of thing. What's really interesting about it is that alongside her story, which is just kind of comes into it midway through it, is the story of the police officer who actually is nearly having a similar kind of an arc, in the sense like both of them are in male dominated at that point. Jobs, shall we say, if we're going to call drug dealing a job, as well as a police officer.
Use that term loosely, but yeah.
I know, we're using it very loosely. But, you know, like in the one of the things that keeps coming up in it is, and particularly in the beginning, is that the police and all the other kind of drug dealers will say, and Griselda's side, just assume that she's the girlfriend.
She has to be. That's all just, a woman could do.
They keep calling her, oh, go home, you housewife, and all this kind of thing. It's regardless of what she's done or how far she's come, it's always kind of falls back on that. And it's very much about her and the women that she brings with her through her organization, and that's kind of where her loyalty and all that sort of base comes from. And then on the other side of it, then you have a police officer, female police officer, who they are very much kind of patting on the head and, you know, make coffee. And it just happens that she's Latino and that she's the only person that can speak Spanish in a predominantly Spanish area where this police office is, obviously Miami. And so, but that's all she's used for, is just for translating. And when she comes up with ideas, they're very much going, oh, you're supposed to be making coffee. Yeah, you're only the woman. You
kind
can't,
of, it's kind can't, of really made quite obvious. Really heavily spoon-fed. Oh, to the
it
audience,
definitely is. Yeah. But I do find the arc kind of interesting between the two. You know what I mean? The yeah. two of them as they're sort of rising. So it's kind of a different sort of and a, just, and it's a different kind of a story.
I don't dig too deeply into the sort of unemotional level, but the Griselda story, is, as far as it's being played out at the moment, and this isn't a spoiler as such, it's how she turns into the woman I presume she's going to turn into. She's like a victim at the beginning, and then she has to make certain decisions to progress, you know, when you can see her, almost see her journey from being, you know, a drug dealer's wife or partner or whatever her status is there, into she sort of the power, the influence. It's like really, I think the story's really well told from that perspective.
Yeah, I'm really actually enjoying it, and as I said, I normally I kind of lose interest in these halfway through it because they. And it's an awful thing to say, obviously, because they are based on true stories, and like Narcos, and that was all based on true. But just when it's dramatized, then it just becomes, you know, even like the Pablo Escobar story and that kind of thing, it just becomes this guy going out just murdering more and more people and more and more. Whereas this has got a little bit more for people that want a bit more story to it and a bit more background.
And it's 6 episodes. They're not dragging it over 12 episodes. No, they're not dragging it out.
Yeah. There's a lot happening with it, and it's easy to, you know, keep up with the characters, and you'll recognise the different kind of gangs that she starts getting involved with, particularly if you've watched Narcos and that. It's just really interesting. I just find the story really interesting. Sofia Vergara is amazing in it, and I was wondering about that because...
What did you say her second name is?
It's Vera, isn't it?
I thought it was Vergara.
Vergara, maybe I'm saying
it. No, well, I've just
I 100% could be saying it wrong.
Trust me, you're right.
Oh, I doubt it. But she is amazing in it. And I was wondering about that because when you saw the trailers for it, she kind of has a bit of... have toned her down because, I mean, she's a beautiful woman in real life, and they have kind of like...
She's all right in the show.
Yeah, she's not bad. But I actually didn't think she could act, to be honest, because, I mean, I won't say she couldn't act, but she had a particular thing that she was doing and doing well. You know, anybody that's seen her in Modern Family, this is what she kind of plays. You know what I mean? Smart, but... you know, heavy on the accent, different things like that on it. And I've seen her in other movies that she's done, and she basically has played the character from Modern Family in other, you know.
Yeah, I hadn't seen her acting in anything before, I know she was a model as well, but she is really, really good at it.
She's very good in it, absolutely. And I think, you know, fair dues to her. And, you know, as I said, when you're watching it, there's a lot of reading in it. Because, you know, they're speaking a lot of Spanish and that kind of thing. But it's well worth it.
Again,
stick
do you know
with
what it did? It made me keep my phone out of my hand. And I think that's helped me enjoy it more.
Yeah, and if anybody's going on a trip, it would be an excellent one to watch on a trip, you know, with your headphones on and kind of just sort of head down and watch it. It'd be really good. It is actually, it's very good. I'm really enjoying it.
And I'll
tell
you for me what it's been is I think there's been a gap where there's just a good show. Do you know what I mean? Like a good show. There's been other good shows, and I know your tastes are more broad than mine, Michael, but I'm kind of really just, I just need things to be presented really simply to me, you know what I mean? And I find it just, it's the long time since it's just been a really good show that goes there with Narcos.
Or hooks you.
Or Mindhunter or whatever. You know, a good, well-made show with a good story well told. I'm loving it. 8 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, no, I would say the same as well. You know, the acting is great in it. There is a bit of violence in it, but it's not insane. Yeah, you know, sometimes with some of these things, you're just like, oh my God, this is crazy enough. I didn't need to know.
I'm crazy. No, you're right. I agree with you.
You know, the violence can be, but there's just like nearly, it's an awful thing, they have nearly a proper level of violence in this. I know, it's madness.
There is one scene where a gentleman is assisted from behind through a door. I don't know if maybe that goes
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I didn't mind that at all.
In case you watch it, you go, what? What's the advert? It is quite violent at places. But I know what you're saying. there's no more or no less than probably is required to paint the very dark picture of the
drugs
world. Yes,
that's, you know, it's not like, you know, sometimes you watch these things and they're like, you know, blowing up lads from the inside and all this crack. Yeah, exactly. You're just like, no. There's none of that kind
of thing.
All right,
okay. Really, and I'll tell you what it is it's really easy to watch, even though quite a lot of it's subbed. But when a show is good, I forget the subtitles are there.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a, you just kind of get into the headspace of watching.
And the one thing I've found with dubbing, and anyone who plays PlayStation games or Xbox games will know, the dubbing voices are like, they're the same voices that they use in computer games for cutscenes. Mm. It's they don't sound like real people.
No, they can. It's almost like it's artificial
AI or something. It's like that. They just don't. You're watching it. I can't listen to that voice because it does. It's not a real voice. They're always the same, or it comes across the same. So I think it's worth the reading.
Well, to me, what I loved about it is you do get tunneled with it because of the fact that you have to concentrate when you're watching it. And what the great thing about this show is that, you know, a lot of the stuff I've watched from Netflix lately, you know, not all of it has been bad. Some of it has been grand. But what has been the main problem with it is that they've been too long, is that they've dragged them out. Yeah. And that's what, where they lose me. But this is really gripping. And
I agree.
And more than halfway through.
And it moves in one episode.
Yeah.
It moves the whole story on. And then the next episode picks up from there and then moves it on to the stages sort of her growth, I'm presuming, because like you, Fionnuala, I'm only a wee bit in. I think it's a really good watch, Griselda. And I think a lot of people that like good shows would like it as well. It's kind of cross the household type of a thing. All right, okay. Now, I wouldn't say I'd watch it with Fionnuala's granny, but it's not quite they don't go as deep as they possibly could have, which I think is good. All right, that's Griselda. It is on Netflix. It was put up on the streaming service at the end of January and is available right now in 6 episodes. Okay, we're going to get something from Michael Moore from Fionnuala after these. The caller says, hi all, have you ever tried to buy concert tickets on Ticketmaster recently? Absolute waste of time queuing for ages for Adele tickets. Then the only tickets available are over €400 each and they're not even front of stage. Terrible mental prices for a concert. Yeah, you've given up. Because it used to be you could get tickets, in generic terms. And now, then they have these VIP packages that seem to only pop up.
Well, they've got VIP packages, then they have a pre-sale thing. What is your one's name that everybody talks about?
Taylor Swift.
Yes. Yeah. So Taylor's, very bad, sorry. But her tickets went on sale. They had a VIP package. Then they had a pre-sale package, which had you bought her album 2 years before, that gave you access to the pre-sale. Mm. Then they had another pre-sale. And I managed to get a pre-sale code for it. And at one point, I was 60,000 in the queue. And I was like going, first of all, I'm assuming everybody's buying 2 tickets.
Yeah.
And it was for Croke Park. And Croke Park doesn't hold that many people. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not sure where we're all going. Yeah.
But it has changed. And
I
remember there was a Fine Gael TD we had on the show a couple of times who, you know, was to get rid of touting and all that kind of stuff, and rightly so. I don't know if the changes they made there triggered this change in the difficulty in getting tickets, because so many people were left heartbroken with Taylor Swift, for an example.
Oh, yeah, I don't know where all those tickets went, because you don't even meet anybody out and about that has them. Anytime I ever meet anybody, they're always just saying to me, if you ever hear of any, or if anybody's ever selling them, because, you know, sometimes people would ring the station if they were trying to sell tickets. They're like, if you ever hear of any, if anybody's trying to sell them, I want them. I don't know anybody that actually managed to get them.
No, that's probably because you don't know many 15, 16, 17
year olds. I know people who are mothers of 15, 16 year olds.
I know, of course you do.
But it's same with all kinds of things. Like, there's all the
Let
different
me be
shows
a smart ass without correcting me.
Yeah, it's his thing. That's his thing.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Amazon, which could be another, we've been waiting a long time for a good show and here we are.
Yes.
This was previously a film, wasn't it? With Angelina Jolie?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And they give an acknowledgement of that. They've kind of nodded to that film in the credits as an inspiration. Although the idea predates that film by about a decade, because back in the 90s, not many people will remember this because it didn't last long, but Scott Bakula, one of the first, I think the first thing he did after Quantum Leap was a show called Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which had the exact same premise. But anyway, so the premise of this show is it's a spy action comedy series. Trailer was very good. Trailer hooked me. I was very excited for this. Even the word of it excited me, because Donald Glover is in it from Community. And a lot of people would know him from Atlanta as well. And also as Childish Gambino, he also has a music career as well going. So the central idea here, just like the film, is you have two spies, but they are a married couple who don't actually know each other. And this is how it's set up in the opening minutes of the first episode. They're in an interview process being asked questions about their past. Basically, without giving too much away, he's ex-military, she's ex-law enforcement from what we can gather. And they are given some questions in a very mysterious way, in a very mysterious setting. And then they all both show up at this apartment and all their paperwork is there and they are now a married couple. And they have a mission. And each
episode, they are actually a genuinely married couple who love each other and everything, but they both had secret lives from each other and they collide.
No, they just meet for the first time.
So they're not married at all?
No, they're married legally.
Yeah, but they don't know each other before.
No.
Okay, right.
Yeah, they have strangers. Right. So, and each episode is about a mission. So they have a mission in the first episode, they have a mission in the second episode. I've seen two episodes so far. I didn't get any more in. It dropped during the week. And the way the show works is the missions... Did you watch this, Vanilla? Did you have a start of this
yet?
First one, yeah. The missions are kept in the background. The missions are just... They're told to follow. So I'm going to make something up because I couldn't bother explaining. So imagine they might be told, follow a man called Greg. Mm-hmm. And write down what Greg does.
Mysterious.
And Greg goes to the library. And yes. Greg goes to the shop and he buys eggs. And then Greg gets on a bus and leaves town. Mm-hmm. And that's the entire mission. It's all very much out of context. We don't know what the missions are about. We just don't know. In either episode, they don't tell us a darn thing. But what the focus of the show is, two strangers who are now living together. And it's this awkwardness, this kind of curiosity as they find, you know, she gets up in the morning. She goes out and she learns that he's like meditating outside on the balcony, this kind of stuff. So they're learning about each other. So what Glover has done, and his co-creator, a lady called Francesca Sloan, who also worked on Atlanta with him and also wrote, she wrote episodes of Fargo and she produced the fourth season of Fargo. That's the Chris Rock season. She was the producer on Fargo last year. She's not involved with Fargo this year. So really, it's really a show about this relationship. And that's what Glover, I think that's his impetus for doing it. And it's a very laid-back show. There is some action, but a lot of it is just... And it reminded me of Moonlighting. Anyone who remembers Moonlighting in the 80s, and there was a lot of these shows, you know, mismatched these things where a man, like Remington Steele, a man and a woman are put together in the first episode. They're bickering. They don't know each other. We know that they kind of fancy each other, and then you wait five seasons for them to kiss and get together, and that's the driving impetus of... You know, Remington Steele, Moonlighting. There was a show called P.S. I Love You with Connie Selecka and Greg Evigan. Again, I'm sure most people won't remember that, but anyway, I do. And there was Mr. Smith with Scott Bakula. Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Scott Bakula and I think Maria Bello. So it's very laid back because they might sit on a park bench in the first episode and talk and talk and talk. And unlike shows that have done this in the past, it's not witty banter. It's not trying to be. It's actually kind of... ordinary conversations about, you know, as they ask each other questions, what's, you know, he's asking her, what's your real name? And she's like, well, it's not Jane. So she's quite guarded. She won't, they're John and Jane and they're fake names. They don't even know their real names. So the show is not quite what I expected. I like the main characters and I like seeing them kind of, you know, flirt and get to know each other. But the out of context missions, like they really, like even in the second episode, we have no idea who these people are, why they're following someone, why they have to question.
Is that good or bad? I'm still not sure what you think of it.
I'm not sure. I don't know what I think of it either. I think I'd like the show more if there was context. I love Slow Horses. Finished Slow Horses season 2. It's incredibly intricate and complex, but everything that happens in Slow Horses is explained. In this show, it's really intricate and complex what they have to do. They have to pick up an object, they have to go to a location, they have to do these things happen. But nothing is explained. And it doesn't look after two episodes. Now, maybe after eight
maybe
episodes...
Maybe it's not the show that you think it is.
Oh, it's not the show I expected.
Yeah, yeah, caller says, Mr. and Mrs. Smith is very sharp and witty. I'm three episodes in, binge-worthy stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, I'll stick with it. I'm very happy to stick with it. It's got a bit of action, but I'd like to figure out what the heck it's, you know...
What's the point?
Yeah.
Did you think of the first episode? Do you recognise anything that's coming out of his mouth?
Oh, no, I do. Well, except that he's insulted Moonlighting.
I love Moonlighting.
Yeah, I struggled to finish the first one of this.
Really? Okay.
I can't see myself going back to it.
Okay.
I just found it. It's very slow and it's very kind of chatty and that kind of thing. But I think for something like this, that seems to be like it's building to something. Because, like you said, you don't know. So, like, you see, Lost has scarred me. I cannot give to a show, with, you know what I mean, without knowing that there's going to be a satisfying ending. Coming. And I fear with this, with that show, when I watched the first one, I was like, I could give to this show now, and I would get and
burned, at the end burned.
Exactly. And also, in order to get me to give that, they need to kind of hook me in the first one, and I just didn't really see much chemistry between the
really?
Two. I do like Glover. He's brilliant.
This is like Colin from Accounts. You didn't think they had chemistry either. And no. I thought the two of them burned up the screen. No. I really did. Like, Colin from Accounts is such a good show. I think these two have great chemistry. Do you not think they?
I didn't think so.
Well, not as a spoiler, if you look at the last three episodes, 7.4 out of 10, 7.1 out of 10, 7.9 out of 10. So, in other words, it doesn't drop off.
Critics have embraced it.
Maybe that's reason to stick with it. I don't know if I'm going to watch it now.
Have you seen the trailer? The trailer makes it look like a much more action-packed show.
I've listened to you and you've really put me off.
Yeah, good, good. Well,
I thought it was going to be
saves you wasting your weekend.
That kind of thing.
Our job is done. I mean, I thought it would be more action-packed. I mean, I really thought from the trailer it would be guns. And there is that element in it. But in a 45-minute episode, they'll have maybe 5 minutes of an explosion and a bit of a chase. Most of it is just the two of them going, do you like cats?
No, interested.
Do you like cats? I mean, I
could switch the television off and talk to Ashley if I was interested in conversation.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
I know. That would be my thinking as well. I know.
But, like, I want to, you know.
Yeah. You could just, like, sit in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, I could have a conversation. Yeah, no, I want to watch telly.
Exactly. With the people in your family. Yeah.
Mostly in silence.
Yeah, spending time with your family.
Mostly in silence, if that's all right. Right, okay, so how do you score this out of 10?
I'm going to come at the early, after two episodes, I'm going to give it 7.
Yeah.
And I'll see how it goes. Okay, I mean, I don't dislike it. I mean, it's in my wheelhouse. I like these kind of shows. It's a throwback. And it's a bit fresh.
But from a personal perspective, you can't give it any more than 2, really. You struggled to finish the first episode.
I did, yeah.
No, I did.
I struggled to finish the first episode.
Not giving you a figure to say, but yeah, you know
no,
what
no,
I mean.
I did.
Okay.
I struggled to see it. I can't imagine myself. It didn't grip me to make me want to stay
off air, I'll tell you what happens in episode 2. And then, you know, I'll kind of spoil it a wee bit. And then you'll know kind of it's the same as episode 1, except an episode later.
I'd be like, Greg.
It's the same as episode 1, but an episode later. That's the spoiler. Okay. Yeah. I want to wish a very happy birthday to Kathleen Cunahan, who's in Derry and is 90 today, coming in from your younger sister, Rita, and family in Buncrana. So a big happy birthday to you, Kathleen Cunahan. You're looking for Roy Orbison, and I'm sure either John or David will stick that on for you a little later on. But what we can do is wish you a very happy birthday.
Definitely.
Okay, back with more. After these. Okay, you're welcome back to the programme. Now, some of your comments coming in so far today are as follows. Jumped out of the first episode of Mr. and Mrs. Smith halfway through. Boring. Watching awkward, slow, going nowhere. May suit those who want to watch paint dry. Okay, right.
Is that Kevin?
Hi, Greg. No, here's Kevin. Hi, Greg and guys. Just finished season 2 of Slow Horses. Wow, he doesn't like his staff, but won't have a bad word said about them, only by himself, that is, while chewing a Nicorette and producing a lit cigarette, on the other hand. By the way, someone mentioned Billy Connolly during the week. As third season started last night, I'd forgotten to provide the soundtrack and produced by no less than Phil Coulter. You'll probably be singing it at the end. Here's a few lines. Stand back, Superman, Iceman, Batman, Robin 2. By the way, update from Gobbler's Knob. Early spring is imminent. I have a feeling we've talked about this before. Thank you very much indeed.
Very good.
Kevin, and we were talking about childhood pranks. You know, tricks that were played on children, and it was one person was called Connolly. The surname was Connolly, and their brothers convinced them that their uncle was Billy Connolly, which I thought was quite a witty.
Well done.
Quite a witty one. All right. I think we can say good morning now to Patrick Feeney, who's coming to Donegal again this weekend. Are you there, Patrick?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good, good, good. Great to have you on the show. How are you keeping?
I'm very, very good. Thanks for having me on.
Excellent stuff. No, it's great to have you on. Right, okay. So you're bringing your country and gospel music to Ongreanon Theatre. It's an 8 p.m. kickoff this Saturday night. Looking forward to it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I am. Last year, we done our first nationwide tour of gospel and inspirational songs. And I'd always been known for probably doing country music in the past. And this is just something a little bit different and something I always wanted to do. So we got great feedback last year. And then we decided we'd do another show this year. So we're bringing the, it's a new gospel show tomorrow night down Green and Theatre. And I'm really, really looking forward to it because, as I said, these are songs that people that's coming to see us week in, week out probably wouldn't have heard me sing before.
Yeah. And is this, I mean, obviously, I know you do love the country, but is this a little bit special for you on a personal level? Is this sort of like something you particularly enjoy doing, or do you just like to mix it up for your audience?
No, it's something I've always loved to do. I've always sang, you know, like in choirs when I was growing up, and gospel music is something that I always would have had a love for. But at dances and stuff like that, they're just not dance material. You don't get the opportunity for it to do it. And then when we started doing the Amigos tour over 10 years ago, that gave me an opportunity for the segments in the show that we do individual songs. And then I felt, well, that was the time I was going to sing these songs. And the reaction that I got from people encouraged me for to go on and record got more gospel music, and people liked it, so I liked it. And you know, the other aspect of it is what you mentioned. It does mix up the, for me, it's a great break away from the dancing.
Well, it's really nice, isn't it? 20 years on from the release of your first album, to sort of being, you know, doing different types of shows, not reinventing yourself, because that's got different connotations, but you know, I mean, to be doing something different, to be bringing something new to your fans, it's nice to be able to do that deep into your career and a hugely successful one like that.
Yeah, I love doing it because it is just something very, very different. It's something very, very special. And anybody that has been to that show, it's just very, very, it's an intimate show. And I love getting the opportunity to do that. And then we're back then, once the tour is finished in March, we're back then to do the dances for the rest of the year and other stuff, you know, like that. But the mix is just lovely.
Yeah, indeed. And included in your gigs this year is an appearance at the Highland Radio Birthday Bash, which the tickets are on sale for now in the wonderful Mount Errigal Hotel. Really looking forward to having you part of that special celebration too, Patrick.
Yeah, it's always one of those concerts that I love doing, because I wasn't long on the road. I was only probably maybe 2 or 3 weeks I was on the road, and I was very, very young and naive to the whole business. And one of the first guys that I would have met in the music business was the late Pio McCann at the Highland Radio, and he gave me the opportunity to go and perform. Which, you know, a lot of people at the time, I was young, I wasn't known, wasn't on for giving the opportunity, but Pio did. And he was a great mentor, I have to say, because, you know, I remember him giving me advice on that night. And we've gone back time and time again over the years to the birthday bashes and to the Highland Radio concerts. And it's always a great, great night. And you meet up with people that you haven't met, because they've been on the road as well doing the same thing.
Yeah, okay. But more imminently, tomorrow night, you're in on Green on Theatre Letterkenny. There's still a few tickets available. It starts at 8 p.m. and it's a night of country and gospel music in a beautiful setting too. It's more intimate and different type of music, and I think it's going to be really a great show, and you're going to have a great turnout, no doubt, Patrick.
Great. We're looking forward to it, Greg.
All right. Thank you very much indeed for that. And if you want to go and see Patrick, you can go to the box office on Green on Theatre there. And if you want to see him as part of our birthday bash, we have Margot and special guests on Tuesday the 19th of March, so just a little over a month now. You're invited to join the Highland Radio Birthday Bash concert in the Mount Errigal Hotel on Tuesday the 19th of March 2024. Margot's there, Brendan Quinn, Declan Ernie, Patrick Feeney and David James. Tickets are €30 per skull. And €125 per person is a package deal, which includes dinner, bed and breakfast, plus a ticket to the show. So if you add all of that up, we'll break it down into its component parts. It's a really nice night out if you want to treat someone who has a birthday or something like that there. But if you just want to go, take a seat, €30. Looking forward to that, Fionnuala.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I haven't seen Margot in a little while, so I'm dying to see her again. She's always a brilliant performer.
She celebrated her birthday this week.
She did, yeah. This is her anniversary year. I think later in the year she's having an anniversary concert.
Okay, cool.
I think it's like colossal. I think she's something like 60 popular. Years or something like that she's been on the go.
It's amazing.
Because obviously she started at like, I don't know, seven, something crazy. Like, she's been performing on stage since she was, you know, barely out of the womb, from what I can work out.
It's going to be a special night. It's definitely going to be a special night. Good fun. And if you want to buy tickets, you can go, you can give us a ring here and we can hook you up, of course, 07491 25000. But the easiest way, and it's perfectly quick and secure, is the outlet at highlandradio.com, where you can get details on other things that we're doing there as well. Okay, thanks very much to Patrick Feeney for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow night on Greenon, and also right, True Detective. We talked about this a little last week, or maybe in consecutive weeks, but people will be interested in your views, because you know what happens is and I think regular listeners, you kind of you know which of you might align more to.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So agreed.
Completely. There are people who actually would be genuinely interested in what you think of True Detective.
Doesn't have to be that surprised about it. People would actually be interested. I think it's very plausible.
Yeah, we are kind of conditioned not to blow our own trumpet and to be sort of subservient.
Yeah. I always blow my own trumpet, nobody else does. I'm awesome. I know it.
Yes. Can't argue.
No, I actually put this just down because I did mention it a couple of weeks ago, the last time I was here, and I just started watching it. And now it's, you know, and after the first one, it was very difficult to know whether you were going to like it or not. Because it's not quite like the original True Detective, which is obviously the only one that I had seen was the first one. But so it's four in now, so it's more than halfway there. And I'm not 100% sure what's going on.
You're not the first person said that. They had they've been talked to a couple of people, didn't know really what's going on, what story is actually being told.
And it's a pity, really, because it actually is quite...
Lost again, is it? Like, it's like Lost.
No, it's not that bad now.
No, she got lost the whole way through, just disappointed with how they decided to wrap it up.
Oh, yeah, no, I did. Absolutely. What bothered me about Lost was that, you know, after the first hour, I was like, oh, I bet you this is it.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed Lost.
10 years later.
I am still very disappointed that they admitted
I know. It's a problem. I actually have... It's kind of like when people start talking about school and, you know, like, regardless of whether it's been 20 or 30 years, there's at least one person or one teacher or one something that you suddenly... Your blood boils. Yeah. That's what Lost does for me. But with this, I have to... I'm a bit disappointed in it because... the acting in it is really good. Mm-hmm. I think that Jodie is amazing in it. There's some brilliant stuff in it. But it's like they're throwing the kitchen sink at it.
Mm.
They could totally slim it down a bit and focus on a particular story. There's so much noise around it. And even I'd even put up with, like, because I think you'd actually particularly like it, because it's actually gone a bit supernaturally, and there's not, you know, there's...
That was my fear with it.
It has gone a little bit sort of down a supernatural road, in the sense of not now like outer space type of thing, but more in like that it's kind of accepted that in this part of Alaska, you know, people sometimes see the dead, and there's, you know, there's all that kind of stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
And it's very kind of Craig's quirky. Face. I know, yeah. It's very kind of quirky and that kind of thing in it. But the problem is not actually that part of it, because you could put, you know what I mean? You could go with it in the context of the story because it's a strong storyline that's in it. It's that they've packed it full of all this other stuff. There's a whole thing going on with the mine. There's another whole thing going on with one of the police officer's father that I'm not really 100% sure what's going on. Suddenly, I'm watching these people having sex. I'm like, first of all, it's bloody freezing up there. What the hell is that? This, like, it's ridiculous.
Well,
like,
how are you going to make babies?
And I don't care.
Well,
about
how are you going
to
keep warm?
It's not relevant to the story. You know what I mean? It's like they just throw stuff into it. I'm like, stop throwing stuff into it and just concentrate on the story.
Oh, I get you. Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing of it, that you're sort of like, I don't need to know a lot of this periphery stuff. There's just too many kind of side stories going on with it. Mm. But it is interesting, and I think I probably will stick with it now that I'm this far into it, just to kind of figure out what the frick is going on. But I don't
How far are you in?
Oh, I'm not going back. I gave up after episode one.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I'm not going back. Yeah. No, I didn't like it at all.
Oh, and you totally would like it. You should totally stick with it.
Oh, I hated the first episode.
Oh, I know, but it gets like, very freaky. As I said,
well, you keep watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith and he'll go back.
As I said to you, my thing about the first episode, the first episode was all these scientists disappeared and they're like, whew! And then she went back into town and the next thing she was dealing with a traffic accident. I was like, what? You're not going to stay around at the research place.
Yeah. So you're giving you're putting low singles. What are you giving it after four? You see, the problem is why call it True Detective? Right, because we all have this view of True Detective.
Yes, it's completely not like that.
It's a brand name. It's a magazine. Yeah, it's a famous magazine.
Yeah, and the first one, there was a bit of a cult in it, wasn't there?
It was a weirdness to it.
Yeah, but it was a cult and that kind of stuff. Maybe because we're more familiar with the, you know, America, that seems like a little bit more believable. Is it possible that because this is sort of into the Arctic or wherever, Canada, that the same kind of stuff seems a bit science fiction? But
well, this
we're used to this sort of
a cult. This doesn't look like it's going to be a cult. This looks like there's a supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I said, as Mike
said...
Oh,
no, this is full on. Even in the first episode, it's full on.
All these guys are missing. Yeah. Yeah. And in the end, they find out what happened to these guys. And the way they find out is because this woman that lives in the woods type of an idea, her dead husband shows up and walks her through the ice until... She eventually finds these people.
Yeah, and that's in the first episode. And we see him, Greg. I mean, he's there. He's the ghost is walking around.
Oh,
we
can see, right. Yeah. Okay, well, so I'm out.
And they can all kind of see...
I should have really not gone all in on Glissade or whatever it's called because I've nothing to watch afterwards.
Griselda.
Okay, so that's Mr. and Mrs. Smith's out. True Detective's out. I don't know what I'm going to watch.
You haven't watched that yet.
Have you watched Deadwater Fell?
No.
Did you watch that when it was on? Oh, you should totally watch it.
Okay, it's been jammed down my throat by Netflix. So.
And Criminal Record, but they're two worth
watching.
And Cush Jumbo's in both of them.
I watched, there's a program on Channel 4 about police investigation into coppers. I watched a couple of episodes of
that. Oh, documentary?
It's like a fly in the wall stuff where the police investigate themselves, you know, corrupt cops. And I watched the first episode, and I don't know what they were trying to achieve, but... what appeared to show is that police can't investigate themselves because it shows incredibly awful behaviour by police. Mm. And then it shows them going through the process for it and then being says, nah, it's all right. Or, nah, you better slip off and retire now. Do you know what I mean? It's a peculiar show. Because I thought it was like, we've invited the cameras in. We're going to show you how, you know, we hold the police force to account. But it's not. What it demonstrates is that the police really can do anything that they like.
And get away with it.
Did you watch it?
No, I watched the trailer and a few bits of pieces on it, and I was like, I don't understand what they're trying to achieve.
The horrendous treatment of the public.
We already know all get away with it. That they kind of get away with stuff.
I'll tell you, there's one scene in it whereby there's a couple of policemen who treat a vulnerable person deplorably, absolutely deplorably, and one of the ways to resolve it is that. They just have a chat with their superior. It's got a strange name, but it's actually videoed. And their faces are blurred out, whatever. And this is the disciplinary action. He goes like, you know, you looked at the video there, what did you think? And your boy goes, oh, well, you know, probably could have handled that different, but under pressure and stuff. Yeah, good, very positive. Yeah, but you have to watch it to realise that it's crazy.
Now, I don't know what the police were thinking about. That's what I found so strange when I was thinking about watching it. I was like, why would they agree to make this
Maybe
program?
They thought that the cases at least featured in the first episode would actually look like police were held to account. I don't know, banging up coppers or something it's called. I don't know what it's called. You know the way
they put a big name on it.
Channel 4, it's on the 4 player. Well worth watching. Mm. Loving True Detective, great acting, great cinematography, a bit of supernatural unpredictably. Mm. I like watching a great artist at work. Now that's someone who's not as superficial as me that can actually sort of... You know, indulge it.
But it's a good take.
I think you watch it in a row, though, and I have to say, I don't know how people live in Alaska where it's nighttime all the time. This is 6 days now into the nighttime, daytime that they have up in Alaska. And I mean, even 4 episodes in, I'm like, oh my God, that would just fry my nerves.
Yeah.
And you kind of can't understand how supernatural stuff gets believed up there.
Like living here can be tough, you know, when you get up and it's dark and you get home when it's dark, you know, and you're always looking forward to the spring.
But with them it's like...
But it's constant.
Constant. Yeah, it's full pitch dark. Black dark, like not just, you know what I mean, not a twilight dark.
But do you
dark.
Think
like,
if, oh God, if you actually went over there, it's all just perfectly normal people having the crack, boozing, partying all day, which is night, you know, and not just walking around...
Well, I'm sure they're not just walking around talking to ghosts and murdering each other. we may have heard about it if that was the way it was. Well, but I definitely think you really want to go and see it because it's extreme. Like the weather is extreme. You know, the darkness is so dark and cold. And then every once in a while you see them and they've no coats on. And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on with you people. I'm in Donegal and I'm perished. I can't get it.
All right. It is the 9 till noon show. It's That's Entertainment. Our last hour of the week where we transition from weekday to weekend from a radio perspective. All right. Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about. Back with more from Michael and Fionnuala after these. I haven't been told to say this. So I hope it's not a misstep. But my understanding is the plan is on Sunday, the awards, we have an awards ceremony in Jackson's in Ballybuffet. Really excited about it. And my understanding is the tech team are working on possibly streaming that out on our socials and on our website as well. So it'll be a great bit of Sunday entertainment as well. We'll keep you updated on that. My understanding is it is going to be broadcast across our social medias as well.
That is the plan, so, if we can at all. You know,
I've got you're the CEO. You should know, shouldn't you?
Well, I know I say this, though, but, you know, technical difficulties can happen on the night. This is our first time trying it, so we did bits and pieces the last time.
I'll be on scene, so you can be sure if there's anything that needs ironing out, technically, I am your man.
Then you can say it's definitely going to happen.
I'll
it should be good.
Stage,
there's a lot
I'm
of amazing hospitality companies, businesses across Donegal that are involved in it and that have been chosen. We had a huge response to it again.
Massive.
And it's been just phenomenal. So sadly we had to whittle it down and some people weren't lucky enough to get into the shortlist, but there is some amazing companies on the shortlist and
but given
and
the way it's designed
good.
To and it's driven by public, even if a business doesn't happen to make it to the shortlist, there is that period, and I've seen it, where it gives the space for their customers to thank them for what they do and to praise them for what they do. So even that part of the process I think is fantastic, because, you know, these people work in a very tough industry at the moment, and it's wonderful to be able to recognise the great work they do in propping up the economy, supporting our families, our children, and
providing
us jobs
employment.
Yeah, exactly. So that's Sunday night. So fingers crossed, all being well, that will be going out on our socials. But we'll tell you more about that as we get closer to it. I can't see any issues with it. But anyway, rightio. So we both discussed Fargo. I don't even think I want to ask you about that, Michael.
Oh.
Are you enjoying it?
Loving it.
Okay, right. Why?
Season 5, Noah Hawley, he's a fantastic writer, creator. I love his work. He's done now, in the last 10 years, he's consistently delivered 5 top-notch seasons of this show. And I am 6 episodes into the 10-episode 5th season. Mm. Again, it's self-contained storyline. There is threads running through the 5 seasons of Fargo. Some of them are set in the past. Some of them are like set in way in the past. This one is taking place in 2019. And the new story puts Juno Temple at the centre, and people will know her best probably from Ted Lasso. And I first saw her in the first season of that show from a few years ago, the Connie Britton show, Dirty John, which was the true story of the woman who married the con man, Eric Bana. Yeah, it was a very good show. And she was the daughter who was onto him. And she was a real standout for me. And I was like, I know this is a true story and all, but I want to follow her and I want her to be a private eye and go off and investigate crimes. She'd be brilliant. So she was excellent in Ted Lasso as well. But she's at her absolute best in this season of Fargo. Story, very briefly, she is a very ordinary, happily married housewife in suburbia. And in the first episode, we see her get kidnapped by some bad guys.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it not that she's at some community meeting or something?
There's a fight. Yeah, well, there's a fight. Yeah, but that puts her in. I'm skipping over this. That puts her in the wreck. That puts her detail.
Okay, right.
Her,
that's
how they find her.
She's taken out of that, but that's her.
Yeah, she's arrested. Okay. Well, but that's the main thing. She's abducted by these people, and this small, skinny, would blow away in a strong breeze kind of woman turns out to put up one heck of a fight, and she completely gets away from the guys. There's bullets flying, there's people getting killed left, right and centre. And the shock for us, obviously we're not that shocked because we kind of know the tone of the show, but the shock for us is, my God, she can give as good as she gets and twice as bad back. And she gets away from them and she just returns to her home covered in blood and makes as if nothing happened and tries to mysteriously pass it off as if nothing has happened and doesn't even want to admit when police come and talk about her abduction. She's like, no, I just went for a drive. I was just thinking about things. Should have told my husband. Bad, my bad. So what's the mystery? What's going on there? There's a big mystery set up. And in the second episode of the season, then we shift the narrative over to John Hamm, who people will know from Mad Men. And we find out that, you know, she had a mysterious life before she married this man. And I'll say no more than that. It's Fargo. It's quirky. It's violent. It's darkly comedic. I mean, it's really darkly comedic. There's a complete aside, but there's a very minor thread for anyone who's watched the season. It's on Amazon now. It was on, dropped before Christmas. There's a really obnoxious guy in a hospital who has really been horrible to staff and so forth. And he gets his comeuppance in a very dark way, which I was laughing at. And I was like, I really shouldn't be laughing at this because this is terrible. It's really bad. But it sets things up. Fargo is just such a consistently... I mean, I love Noah Hawley's work. Yeah. Before he did Fargo, he did a show called The Unusuals with Jeremy Renner as a cop. It didn't succeed. There's only one season. There's 10 episodes.
Right.
I don't know if it's we'll out there, but people should check it out.
I'll go again. Have you watched any of this?
No, it went too quirky for me in the beginning. Maybe I should go back to it because
This is quirky. This is even episode one of this show is quirky.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new season? The new
I watched the first episode of it. And
yeah, it didn't pull you.
No, it didn't. Right, I just want to quickly mention...
It's getting mixed reviews. Yeah, I do know that. It is that type of
show that will challenge people in different ways. Due to a last-minute cancellation, we've got one place remaining on our trip to Sister Act in Bordgash Theatre, Dublin, on Friday the 23rd of February. That's 2 weeks today, isn't it? Yes. Mm-hmm. For further information, you can give Katie a call there right now on 07491 25000. So it is one place remaining to go to Sister Act in Bordgash. A great group of people booked on that trip already. So if you'll have no bother making friends, or if there's a friend that was left out from the original booking, you can get them on. Fionnuala, thank you so very much indeed.
Thank you.
We'll chat to you again really soon, of course. Michael, as always, thank you.
Pleasure.
Most of all, thank you to all of you listening at home, at work, in the car, wherever you are, and those who watch the show. I'm off until Wednesday. Donald's in Monday, Tuesday. So for me, Greg Hughes, and all the team, have a wonderful weekend.